Welcome back, everybody. Today we're going to be taking a deep dive into data visualization.
Oh, fun.
I know
Yeah.
you're interested in this based on all the stuff that you shared with me.
Yeah.
There's chapters from a book, a few articles. I even saw some personal notes in there.
Wow, yeah. I'm really excited to dive into this topic.
So get ready, because we're about to distill the essence of what makes truly great reports and dashboards
Yes.
and learn.
How to make sense of complex data,
Yes.
and pick the right visualizations to tell the right story.
Okay, so.
It's going to be a fascinating journey from raw data to impactful communication.
I love it.
We're going to unpack some key elements that maybe you haven't even thought about.
Okay.
Like, for instance, the five C's of visualization design.
Ooh, five C's.
They're like the secret ingredients to make your data really sing.
Now I'm intrigued. And from
Yeah.
what I've skimmed through in these materials, even things like color palettes
Oh, absolutely.
and font choices
Good.
play a bigger role than I ever realized.
Way bigger than people think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll look into a variety of visualization tools, from the really simple one like line charts to more complex ones like heat maps.
Okay.
By the end of this deep dive, you will be equipped to unlock insights hidden within your own work.
That's the goal. That's what we want.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
So one thing that I noticed recurring a lot, both in your notes and also in the book chapters, was this idea that data visualization isn't just about making things pretty.
Right.
It's really about communicating clearly
100%.
and encouraging action.
Yeah, and a well-designed report or dashboard really needs to be tailored to its audience.
Yes.
You know, the information that a CEO needs to see is vastly different from what like a custodial supervisor needs,
Yeah, that makes sense.
even though they're both looking at reports.
Right, the CEO is looking at the high-level trends
Exactly.
and strategic decisions,
Yep.
and then a custodial supervisor needs data to just manage their day-to-day operations.
Exactly.
Makes
Yeah.
sense. And even before you think about design, you have to think about data sourcing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, imagine merging information from different departments, especially after a merger. Like, that can be a huge challenge.
Yeah.
It's really like piecing together a puzzle.
So you're like a data detective
That's a great way to put it.
with a magnifying
Yeah.
glass, trying to follow data trails
Love it.
through all these different systems.
Yeah.
But once you've gathered all those clues,
Yes.
how do you build a report that people will actually want to read?
That is where the anatomy of a killer report comes in.
Ooh.
Let's start with the cover page.
Okay.
You know, it's more than just a title and a logo.
Uh-huh.
It should tease the insights to come.
What?
A great example is the 2020 Porsche Annual Report. Really striking visuals and concise text. You get a glimpse into the company's performance and where they're headed.
So it's like setting the stage,
Yeah,
the story.
absolutely.
I like it.
And then you have the executive summary, which is like a mini version of the entire report.
Okay.
For busy executives, this needs to be punchy.
Yeah.
You hit the high points, you don't get bogged down in details.
Got it.
Porsche, again, provides a stellar example.
They're doing it right.
They are.
Okay, so we're talking about efficiency and impact,
Yeah.
but let's get into the nitty-gritty of design.
Okay.
Color schemes, layouts,
Yes.
fonts.
Yes.
These details always just seem like personal preference to me, but you're saying there's more to it.
There is.
Oh, okay.
A monochromatic color scheme might be perfect for a cost-effective internal report,
Okay.
whereas like a vibrant palette could really add impact to a high-profile presentation.
So choosing the right color scheme depends on the context and the purpose.
Exactly.
What about layout?
Think of it as guiding the reader's eye.
Okay.
Short paragraphs, concise bullet points that flow smoothly, like using parallel construction where each bullet starts with a verb for consistency. You create a clear roadmap. And don't forget a table of contents for longer reports.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Okay, what about fonts? I admit I usually just pick whatever looks nice.
So there's actually a science to readability.
Okay.
Serif fonts like Times New Roman are generally easier on the eyes for large blocks of text.
Okay.
And font size needs careful consideration, especially for printed reports, to make sure it's accessible
Yeah.
for everyone.
I'm already thinking about all the reports that I need to
I
redesign.
know, me too.
Okay, now let's talk about graphics.
Yes.
This is the heart of data visualization.
Charts and graphs are essential, but even the best chart can be useless if it's not clear.
Yeah.
Imagine a chart that's showing website traffic over time, but without labels on the axes. You wouldn't know if a spike represents an increase in users or a decrease in sales.
Right. You need to know what you're looking at.
Exactly.
Titles, labels, legends, these are
Essential.
really important.
Yeah, they're not just decorative.
Yeah.
They're crucial for understanding what is being shown.
Okay, and then let's not forget the importance of corporate branding.
Oh, that's a big one.
Right.
So many companies have style guides that dictate logo usage, color palettes, even specific fonts.
Yeah.
This consistency strengthens a company's image.
Yeah.
And makes their communications recognizable. Think of the General Electric logo, that specific blue. Oh, you know exactly who that is.
So identifiable.
Exactly.
So it's not just about aesthetics.
Nope.
It's about representing the company.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's another crucial element that we haven't touched on yet.
What's that?
Documentation.
Oh, documentation.
People need to trust the data they're seeing.
Okay.
And that's where version numbers, source citations, and dates come in.
See, I always thought documentation was kind of a boring detail.
I know a lot of people do.
Why is it so important?
It's about transparency and building confidence.
Okay.
Imagine you're looking at a report with no version number and no indication of where the data came from.
Yeah, I'd be a little suspicious.
Right. Makes you question the credibility.
Yes, definitely.
Clear documentation with sources, cited dates, updated shows transparency and accountability.
It's like you're saying, hey, we stand behind this.
Exactly.
Right.
Even something as simple as a daily sales report.
Okay.
Can benefit from version control. Imagine tracking daily sales and you switch to a new data source midway through.
Right.
Without versioning, it'd be really hard to track the changes.
Yeah, but know what you're looking at.
Right. You get different numbers.
Yeah.
And make sure everyone's using the same data.
So like version 1.0 pulls from one system.
Exactly.
Version 2.0 pulls from another.
You got it.
Okay.
And good documentation goes beyond the basics, you know. FAQs for common questions,
mm-hmm.
appendices for technical details, all show a commitment to clarity.
It's like you're going the extra mile.
Exactly.
To make sure that people understand.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got a beautifully designed,
yes.
meticulously documented report.
Love it.
But what about dashboards?
Dashboards.
Those seem like a whole different...
They are. They're interactive dynamic, often showing real-time information.
Okay.
So they're more complex to design and develop, but incredibly powerful.
So a report is like a static snapshot in time.
Yes.
But a dashboard is like a living, breathing thing.
I love that.
That's constantly updating.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, cool.
And because they're so dynamic, you need to think about the user and their needs.
Yeah.
A CEO, a board member, a department manager might all use the same dashboard, but look for very different things.
Right. So the CEO might be looking at those high-level trends again.
Yes.
Department manager needs to drill down.
Exactly.
It's fascinating how one dashboard can cater to all those different needs.
It is.
Wow.
And even external audiences can utilize dashboards.
Okay.
Think of Amazon Web Services.
Huh?
They have a public dashboard showing the operational status of their services.
Wow.
Anyone can check for outages or issues, you know, demonstrating transparency, building trust with their customers.
That's a great example of data being used to communicate with a wider audience.
It is.
So where do we begin when we're building a dashboard?
First, you need to understand your data sources.
Okay.
Do you need up-to-the-minute live data?
Uh-huh.
Or can you pull from a data warehouse?
Okay.
If the CFO needs to know the exact employee count at any given time,
yeah.
you'd need live data.
Oh.
But if a weekly snapshot is enough, a data warehouse might suffice.
So choosing the right data source.
Huge.
Is crucial.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Once you've sorted that out.
Okay.
It's time to design the dashboard itself, starting with a blueprint called a wireframe.
Okay, so this is like
just sketching
it out.
The basic structure.
Yeah.
Before we add the bells and whistles.
Gotcha.
Wireframes help define key elements, navigation flow, user experience. It's all about making the dashboard intuitive and easy to use.
I like it. And then you move to mock-ups.
Exactly.
Where the visual design comes
in. You get it. Add colors, fonts, logos, graphics, gives you a much clearer vision of the final product.
So it's all about collaboration.
Yes.
And iteration, making sure the dashboard meets everyone's needs.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And throughout the process.
Yes.
You got to keep the data story in mind.
Always.
Like, what questions should the dashboard answer?
Yes. What insights are you trying to reveal?
So it's not just about throwing data up on a screen.
Yeah.
It's about crafting a narrative.
Exactly.
Okay.
Once the dashboard is built, you need to think about delivery and maintenance.
Okay.
Will users subscribe to updates? Can they schedule reports?
Right.
How interactive will it be?
So many possibilities.
So many.
I'm picturing a sales dashboard where a manager can drill down into regional data, filter by product, create custom searches.
Love it.
The possibilities are kind of endless.
They are.
And on the operational side,
yes.
you need to think about role-based access.
Big time.
Right, to make sure the data is secure.
Keeping that data secure and useful.
Right. You want the right people to have access to the right information and prevent unauthorized access or tampering.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And a dashboard is a living thing.
Yes.
It's constantly evolving.
All the time as the needs of the business change.
So it's a continuous journey of improvement.
It is.
Making sure the dashboard is as useful as possible.
100%.
Okay, but now let's move on to the really exciting part.
Okay.
The visual tools that are available.
The vast array. From the simple line chart to the complex heat map.
Yes.
A whole world of visual storytelling awaits.
This is where I get excited.
Me too.
All right. We laid the groundwork with the reports and dashboards.
Yeah.
But now I want to get into that visual storytelling aspect.
Let's do it. Let's start with the workhorse of data visualization.
Okay.
The line chart. When it comes showing trends over time.
Yeah.
Nothing beats it. Imagine tracking the average length of Hollywood movies over the last century.
That would be interesting.
Right.
You could see how movie durations have fluctuated.
Exactly.
And maybe see if it correlates to changes in filmmaking or audience preferences.
You got it.
Okay.
But what if you want to see the popularity of different movie genres?
Right.
For that, I'd suggest a bar chart.
But don't you usually use pie charts for that?
So while pie charts can show proportions... Mm-hmm. Bar charts often present the same information in a way that's easier to interpret.
Okay.
With bar charts, it's much simpler to compare the heights of bars than to judge the relative sizes of pie slices.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you have a ton of categories.
Exactly.
Plus, you can add the data labels right to the bars.
Absolutely.
For clarity. Whereas with pie charts, those little tiny percentages are impossible to read.
Totally agree.
Okay.
And if you want to see how the composition of something changes over time, like the popularity of those movie genres year over year, a stacked bar chart would be an excellent choice.
So you can see at a glance how the proportion of each genre has evolved.
Exactly.
That would be fascinating.
It would be.
Okay, now let's talk about scatter charts.
Scatter charts.
These are great for spotting relationships.
They are incredibly powerful for that.
Between two variables, especially when you have lots of data points.
Lots of data.
I could see this being useful for analyzing the relationship between a movie's budget.
Yes.
And its box office revenue.
You got it. You might see a pattern emerge suggesting that bigger budgets generally lead to higher box office returns.
Right.
And if you want to visualize that correlation even more clearly, you can add a trend line to the scatter chart.
Oh, yeah.
Shows the general direction of the relationship.
Okay, so it just highlights that correlation.
Yeah, it makes it super clear.
And you mentioned bubble charts.
Bubble charts.
Which add another layer of information to the scatter chart.
Right. Bubble charts take that basic scatter chart concept and add a third dimension, which is represented by the size of the bubble.
Okay.
So in our movie example, you could use bubble size to show the number of movies made with a given budget.
Oh, that's cool.
So suddenly you've got three layers of information in one visually compelling chart.
I like it. Okay. What about histograms?
Histogram.
I remember these from stats class.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not sure how I would use those in the real world.
They are excellent for revealing the shape of data.
Okay.
They show you how data is distributed, highlighting things like central tendencies and outliers, for example. You could create a histogram showing the distribution of movie gross revenues.
Okay.
You might see that most movies fall within a certain range, but there are a few outliers that rake in massive amounts of cash.
So it's about understanding the patterns.
Yeah.
And the trends.
Exactly.
Hidden in the data.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
Okay. And speaking of patterns.
Yes.
Let's move on to maps.
Maps.
They are a fantastic way to visualize data that has a geographic component.
Right. I can see it being useful for showing sales by region.
Yes.
Or the distribution of customers across the country.
Uh-huh. It's such an intuitive way to present data.
Yeah.
But maps can be used for so much more than just showing locations. Okay. For example, a heat map on a map can show you the intensity of something across a geographic area, like population density.
Okay.
Or the concentration of certain businesses in a city.
So you can see where the hot spots are.
Exactly.
For that variable.
You got it.
That's cool.
And heat maps can also be used to show correlations between variables. Imagine a heat map showing the correlation between different movie attributes like budget runtime genre and box office performance.
Hello?
You might see some interesting patterns emerge suggesting which factors are most strongly related to success.
That is cool.
Hmm.
I like how heat maps can really bring data to life in a powerful way.
They are powerful.
And then what about tree maps? Those sound a bit more abstract.
Tree maps are great for showing hierarchies and proportions.
Okay.
Imagine a tree map representing all the different movie genres. Each rectangle would represent a genre, and its size would correspond to its popularity.
Okay.
You could then drill down into a specific genre, like comedy, and see subgenres like romantic comedy or action comedy represented as smaller rectangles within the larger one.
So it's a visual representation of a nested structure, and you can zoom in and out.
You got it.
I like it.
What about waterfall charts?
Waterfall charts. Okay.
Waterfall charts are fantastic for visualizing the cumulative effect of changes over time. Imagine a waterfall chart showing how the number of employees in a company changes over a year.
Okay.
You'd start with the initial headcount, then each bar would represent an event like hiring, firing, promotions, or transfers.
Okay.
The final bar would show the end-of-year headcount.
So you can see how all those different factors contributed to the overall change in
Exactly.
employee numbers.
Uh-huh.
That's really useful for HR and workforce planning.
It is.
What about infographics?
Infographics.
These can be visually appealing,
They are.
but how do they fit in?
Infographics are all about conveying information clearly and engagingly, using visuals to tell a story
Okay.
and make data more accessible. Think about trying to explain a complex process, like how a bill becomes a law.
Yeah.
An infographic could break down that process into digestible steps
Okay, yeah.
using visuals rather than relying solely on text.
So it's like creating a visual roadmap. Oh,
Exactly.
that
And
makes
because
sense.
they're so visually appealing, infographics tend to be shared more widely than traditional reports,
Yeah.
reaching a larger audience.
Yeah, and making complex information more accessible.
Exactly.
So they're a powerful tool for communication.
Very powerful.
Okay.
And finally, let's talk about word clouds.
Word clouds.
While they might seem like a novelty,
Yeah.
they can be surprisingly effective
Okay.
for visualizing text data
Okay.
when used thoughtfully.
I'm curious, how can word clouds be more than just a random collection of words in a fancy shape?
The key is to focus on the shape and the size of the words
Okay.
to create a visual metaphor that reinforces the message.
Okay.
For example, a word cloud in the shape of a light bulb with words like idea, creative, and innovation appearing larger.
I would convey a sense of bright ideas and
Oh,
inspiration,
I see.
right?
The shape and the words work together
Exactly.
to create that visual.
Precisely.
Okay, and when done well, word clouds can be a really engaging way to communicate themes and key takeaways.
They are.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground here,
We have.
from basic charts to more complex visualizations like heat maps and tree maps.
Yes.
But before we get too carried away with all these visuals,
Okay.
let's take a step back and talk about different types of reports.
Yes, because reports still play a crucial role in communicating data effectively.
Right. It's important to remember that.
Absolutely.
So let's explore those different report types.
Let's do it. Let's start with one of the most fundamental distinctions, static versus dynamic reports.
Okay, static versus dynamic.
Static report is like a snapshot in time,
Okay.
capturing data at a specific moment and presenting it in a fixed format.
Got it.
Think of a financial report showing quarterly earnings or a sales report summarizing monthly performance. So it captures a moment in time
Exactly.
and shares that information.
You got it.
What about dynamic reports?
Dynamic reports are all about real-time data,
Okay.
constantly updating, pulling information from live sources. Think of a stock ticker
Oh, yeah.
showing real-time prices or a dashboard tracking website traffic as it happens.
So if you need information that's constantly changing,
Yes.
dynamic report is the way to go.
Absolutely. It's like having your finger on the pulse of the data.
You always see those latest updates.
Exactly.
And then you have ad hoc reports,
Ad hoc reports.
which are designed for specific one-off situations.
Exactly.
Imagine a company experiences a data breach. They might need an ad hoc report to investigate it,
Exactly.
to figure out what happened.
Identify the affected data,
Yep.
assess the damage.
You got it.
So it's a specialized tool
It is.
for a specific task,
Exactly.
providing insights that wouldn't be covered in a regular report.
You got it.
And then you have self-service reports. Yes, self-service reports are becoming increasingly popular as businesses empower users to access and analyze data on their own.
Okay, so rather than relying on IT
Yeah,
to create reports,
exactly.
people can use self-service tools to create their own reports.
tailored to their needs.
That makes sense.
So it's all about putting the power of data analysis in the hands of everyone.
I like it.
But of course, there are still plenty of situations where traditional recurring reports are essential.
Like those monthly sales reports.
Exactly. Recurring reports are crucial for tracking key performance indicators, monitoring compliance, managing risks, and ensuring smooth operations.
So many uses.
They can be operational, focusing on things like production output or customer service metrics.
Uh-huh.
They can be compliance related, ensuring that the company is meeting all applicable laws and regulations.
Right.
They can even be research oriented, providing insights into market trends or customer behavior.
Wow. So many different types of reports.
Yeah. It's a whole ecosystem of reports.
Each serving a different purpose.
Exactly.
And providing information to different people.
You got it.
Okay.
And within the world of recurring reports.
Yes.
There's another important distinction.
Okay.
Tactical versus research reports.
Tactical versus research.
Tactical reports support short-term operational decision-making.
Okay.
Think of a logistics company needing a report on current delivery times.
Hmm.
Or a retail store tracking daily sales figures.
Okay, so it's about getting the right information to the right people so they can make decisions quickly.
Exactly.
Okay, what about research reports?
Research reports are more strategic, providing insights that inform long-term planning and decision-making.
Okay.
Think of a market research report analyzing customer trends, or a competitive analysis evaluating the strengths and weaknesses of rival companies.
Okay, so tactical is more about the here and now.
Yes.
And research is more about the big picture.
You got it.
So it seems like there's a report for every need.
Absolutely.
And every level of decision making. And that's the beauty of data visualization and reporting. It's about utilizing all these tools and techniques to make sense of the vast amount of data that surrounds us.
I'm already feeling more informed.
Good.
And empowered to make better decisions.
That's what we like to hear.
Based on data.
That's what we're here for.
Awesome.
And as we continue exploring this topic,
yes,
we'll uncover even more ways to unlock the power of data visualization.
Okay.
And transform that raw information into compelling, actionable insights.
All right. So we've done a lot in part one here.
We have.
But stay tuned for part two, where we'll delve even deeper.
Yes.
Into specific visualization techniques.
Looking forward to.
And explore how they're being used in real world scenarios.
Can't wait.
I'll see you there.
See you there.
Welcome back to our data visualization deep dive. We left off talking about those different types of reports, but now I'm ready to really explore those visualization tools in more depth.
Yeah, it's one thing to know they exist. It's another to really understand the nuances of when to use what.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Like we talked about line charts. You know, they're not just for Hollywood movie lengths.
Right.
They can be used for so many things because of how versatile they are. They're perfect for tracking website traffic, analyzing stock prices.
Yeah.
You know, even visualizing changes in climate data over time.
It's amazing how such a simple line can tell these complex stories.
It is.
Speaking of storytelling, what about pie charts versus bar charts? I know you're a bar chart enthusiast.
You know, I am. I do tend to favor them.
Is there ever a time when a pie chart is truly the best option?
You know, they do have their place, particularly when you're showing the relative proportions of a whole and you only have a few categories.
Okay.
Like, imagine visualizing the market share of different smartphone brands, mm-hmm. where each slice represents a company's percentage.
Okay, I can see how that would work visually.
Yeah, and it's really quick and easy to see.
But you would still say that if we had a lot of categories to avoid those tiny slices.
Way too many.
A bar chart is still better.
Bar charts offer a lot more clarity, particularly when you add table labels.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if you want to see how the composition of something changes over time, like the sales of different product categories year over year, that's when stacked bar charts become super useful.
Okay, so we can see if the proportion of sales from each category has shifted, even if the overall sales have increased.
Exactly. You caught it.
So we can spot trends there.
Yes, and to really highlight those proportional shifts, you could use a 100% stacked bar chart.
Oh, 100% stacked bar chart.
Where each bar represents 100% of the total. So it makes it really easy to track those changes in market share or the composition of a portfolio over time.
That makes sense. Okay, so now let's dive into scatter charts.
Yes.
You know, we mentioned that they're great for spanning relationships between those two variables.
Yes.
Especially with large data sets. But what kind of real-world insights can we actually glean from these?
So many.
Okay.
Like, imagine a pricing analyst needing to adjust their strategies based on real-time market data. They could use a scatter chart plotting product price against sales volume, and it could reveal whether there's a sweet spot that maximizes revenue.
That's a great example. And what if they notice an outlier?
Yes.
Like a data point that's far from the expected pattern.
Yeah, it's when the detective work begins.
Right. Could be an error or it could be an opportunity.
Exactly.
And to really make those relationships even more clear, you add a trend line.
Add that trend line. It gives you a nice visual representation of the correlation between the variables.
It makes it jump off the page.
It does.
Okay, and speaking of making data pop.
Yes.
What about bubble charts?
Bubble charts?
How do they enhance that storytelling power of a scatter chart?
Remember we talked about visualizing movie data?
Yeah.
Well, with the bubble chart, we could take that scatter plot of budget versus box office revenue and use the size of each bubble to represent the number of movies made with a given budget.
Okay.
So not only do you see the correlation between budget and revenue, but you also get a sense of how many movies fall into different budget ranges. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it's like multiple layers of information.
Yes. It's about layering that information effectively.
I like it. Okay. And while we're on the topic of layering and revealing patterns.
Yes.
What about histograms?
Histograms.
Now, these always seemed a little dry to me.
I know a lot of people think that.
Like something you'd see in a stats textbook.
Right. Like just for number crunching. But they can actually be quite insightful.
Yeah.
If you kind of move beyond that purely statistical view.
How so?
Think about analyzing customer satisfaction data.
Okay.
A histogram could reveal whether most of your customers are happy.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's a large group of dissatisfied customers
who might need
some attention. So we could see if the data is all clustered tightly together.
Exactly.
Or if it's more spread out.
You got it. And that can be really valuable for making decisions.
Okay. You've opened my eyes to histograms.
Good, yeah.
A little bit.
I'm glad.
Now let's shift gears and talk about maps.
Maps. I love maps.
Me too. They're so engaging. Yes. They're such a natural way to connect data to a geographic context.
Absolutely.
And their potential goes way beyond just plotting locations.
So much more.
Like we talked about heat maps on maps to show intensity.
Yes.
But what about combining maps with tree maps?
Ooh, that's when it gets really fun.
Okay.
Imagine visualizing sales data for a company with branches all across the country.
Okay.
You could use a tree map overlaid on a map to show the hierarchical structure of sales within each state.
Okay.
With the size of each rectangle representing the sales volume for different product categories.
So not only do you see where the sales are happening, you see a breakdown of what's selling in each region.
It's like two layers of analysis in one visualization.
I like it. Okay, what about waterfall charts?
Waterfall charts.
Remind me how these work. I'm still wrapping my head around it.
Okay, so think of it as a visual breakdown of a company's profit over a year. The starting point would be the profit at the beginning of the year. Then each bar would represent a factor that either increased or decreased profit, like sales, revenue, operating expenses, taxes. And then the final bar would show the end of year profit.
So we can see how all those factors contributed to the overall change.
Exactly.
In profit, highlighting the positive and negative impacts.
You got it. And they can be used for so many different things.
Okay.
Like analyzing inventory levels, tracking project progress.
Oh, wow.
Even visualizing changes in a company's headcount over time.
So it's really like a visual story.
It is. You're watching that story unfold, seeing how that starting point is transformed by a series of events.
I like it. Okay, now what about infographics?
Infographics.
I know they can be visually appealing, but how do they really fit into the world of data visualization?
Infographics are all about conveying information clearly and engagingly, using visuals to tell a story and make the data more accessible.
Okay.
So think about how to explain a complex process, like how a bill becomes a law.
Oh.
An infographic could break down that process into digestible steps.
Okay.
Using visuals instead of relying solely on text.
So it's like we said before, creating that visual roadmap.
Exactly.
To guide people through.
You got it.
The information.
And because they're so visually appealing, they tend to be shared a lot more.
That's true.
Reaching a wider audience, making that information more accessible.
Right. So they're a powerful tool.
Absolutely.
For communication and education.
Yes.
Okay.
And finally, let's revisit those word clouds.
Word clouds.
Which can be more than just a novelty.
Right.
When used strategically.
Yes. I'm still intrigued by that. How can we make them more than just a random collection of words?
Imagine you're analyzing customer reviews for a new product.
Okay.
You could create a word cloud where the size of each word represents how frequently it appears in those reviews. So positive words like amazing or love would appear larger, instantly signaling positive sentiment, while smaller negative words would kind of suggest areas for improvement.
Oh, so we can use the size of the words to see the sentiment.
Exactly.
And the theme.
You got it emerging.
And you can use the shape of the word cloud to reinforce the message.
Oh, right, right.
So a word cloud shaped like a heart filled with those positive words would reinforce that positive sentiment, while one shaped like a thundercloud.
Yeah.
Filled with negative words would really show that customer dissatisfaction.
It's so visual.
It is.
It's very effective.
It's about combining that visual power, the shape, with the insight you get from the word frequency.
Right.
To create this compelling representation of the data.
Well, we've explored a wide range here.
A huge range.
Of visualization tools.
Yes.
And techniques.
We've done a lot.
And it seems like the key takeaway is that there's no one size fits all.
Nope.
The best tool for the job depends on the data, the story you're trying to tell, and who you're trying to tell it to.
It's like having a toolbox.
I love that analogy.
Filled with all these specialized tools.
Yes.
And knowing which one to use to get the job done.
And how to use it effectively.
Right.
It's like a craftsperson taking pride in their tools and their craft.
I like that.
Yeah. Data visualization experts should approach their work with care, precision, and that deep understanding of the tools.
It's not just about making pretty pictures.
It is not. It's about using those visuals to unlock insights, communicate effectively, and drive those informed decisions.
Absolutely. And as we wrap up part two of this deep dive,
yes,
I hope you're feeling more empowered and informed about the visualization landscape and ready to explore the possibilities within your own work.
That's the goal. And I can't wait for part three, where we'll go even further.
Oh, yes.
And look at the more strategic side of data visualization.
I'm excited for part three.
Me too.
Welcome back to our final segment on data visualization. We've covered so much ground, from designing reports to all the different charts and maps. But now I want to get into that strategic side of data visualization that you mentioned.
Yeah, this is where things get really interesting. You know, we've talked about all the tools, but now we got to think about the craft, how to use those tools to create those compelling data stories that really inform decisions and drive action.
Okay, I'm all ears. How do we make that leap from just presenting data to actually using it to influence and inspire?
It all starts with understanding your audience and your goals. You know, who are you trying to reach with these visualizations? What message are you trying to convey, and what action do you want them to take? Once you have a clear understanding of those things, then you can start crafting a data story that's really going to resonate with them.
So it's not just about showing the numbers and the charts. It's about framing that data in a way that's meaningful and relevant to the people you're trying to reach.
Exactly. And that's where storytelling techniques really come into play. You know, we need to think about things like narrative structure, pacing, emotional impact. You know, the goal is to create a visualization that's not just informative, but also engaging and memorable.
So it's almost like writing a screenplay for your data.
Ooh, I like that analogy. Yeah, you need to introduce characters, create conflict, build towards a resolution, and you do it all visually, using those charts, maps, colors, and all those other tools to really paint a picture that's going to stick with people.
That's a pretty high bar for someone like me who's more comfortable with spreadsheets than screenplays. Any practical tips for aspiring data storytellers out there?
One of the most important things is to keep it simple. Don't try to cram too much information into one visualization. Focus on one key message and use your visuals to support that message clearly and concisely.
So it's about prioritizing clarity and impact.
Yes.
Over just overwhelming people with too much detail.
Yeah, exactly. And always consider your audience when choosing your visuals. If you're presenting to a group of statisticians, you can probably use more complex charts and graphs. But if you're presenting to a general audience, you'll need to use simpler, more intuitive visuals that are easy to understand at a glance.
Right. It's all about adapting your approach to the specific context and the level of data literacy of your audience.
Yeah.
Now, what about interactivity? How can we make our data visualizations more engaging and immersive?
Interactivity is key, getting people the ability to explore the data on their own, to drill down into details, to filter and sort information. All of that adds to the sense of engagement and discovery. You know, think about those interactive maps where you can zoom in and out, pan around, click on different regions to see more information, or those dashboards where you can adjust sliders and filters to see how the data changes in real time.
It's like giving people the keys to the data kingdom.
I love that.
And letting them explore.
Well, go on their own adventures.
And when people feel like they're in control of the data, they're more likely to pay attention and draw their own conclusions.
Absolutely. It transforms passive viewing into an active learning experience.
So it's not just about presenting information. It's about creating an experience
yes.
that invites exploration and discovery.
Exactly. And now that we've kind of explored both the tactical and strategic aspects of data visualization, I wanted to leave you with some inspiring examples of how this field is being used to really make a difference in the world. You know, we've talked about using data to track movie trends and analyze sales figures, but data visualization can also be used to tackle some of the world's most pressing challenges.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
I'm eager to hear about these real-world applications.
Think about organizations using data visualization to track the spread of diseases and inform public health interventions, or scientists using visualizations to communicate complex climate data and advocate for policies to address climate change.
It's incredible to think that these tools that we've been talking about can be used not just for business insights, but for social good on a global scale.
Yeah, data visualization has the power to inform, to persuade, to inspire, and to drive change across a wide range of fields and disciplines. And as you continue to explore this field, I encourage you to think not just about the technical aspects, but also about that potential for positive impact.
That's a powerful message to end on. You know, I started this deep dive curious about charts and graphs, but I'm leaving with a much broader understanding of data visualization as this powerful tool for communication, for exploration, and even for social change.
That's what we hoped for. You know, it's a constantly evolving field, and there's always something new to learn and discover. So keep experimenting, keep pushing the boundaries, and keep using this incredible tool to illuminate the world around us.
Well, listeners, there you have it, a deep dive into the world of data visualization, from the basics to the big picture. We hope you've enjoyed this journey and that you're feeling inspired to create your own data stories that inform, engage, and maybe even change the world. Until next time, keep exploring a day.